hearing to the Netzwitz from Adoyin of Israel, Wiesel, very close Talmud, and from the Dayonim and Abonim. It was very close with the Knesset. It was happening well. I speak more on a personal note. I could say that our relationship was more like a father and a son. I endeavored very much to get close to him and to learn from him as much as I could. Chaval, I could have learned much more. Having him a depth, an unbelievable depth of personality in Rosh Hashanah. Tzadik Obad, Sechazal, Ledor Obad. Tzadik is like a margolis, like a pearl. Wherever he is, he had his value. He went to heaven, went to Olam Habo, and he's a loss for us. For the German Olam is a loss because the Toilet, which reflected to the whole generation, the people who were close to him, he was a loss of a source of Torah and Midas Toilet. Yerushalayim. He had in his personality something which is very rare. He commanded two opposites, which normally in normal people they're almost irreconcilable. He was a Dayan, he was the greatest Dayan of our generation, one of the great Dayanim probably in generations. On the other hand, he was a person of chesed and kindness and softness, which is also unparalleled. I'll tell you stories as we go along. Normally these two midas don't go together. David HaMelech says, Chesed u'mishpot oshiro, l'cho Hashem azamiro. I can say it's Shiro, both for the Chesed, which comes from Boi Shoylom, and also for the Mishpot, which I see, comes from Boi Shoylom. How is it possible that these two extremes unite? The answer is, L'cho Hashem Adonino. It comes from Boi Shoylom, with Echot, Yudke Vofke is Echot. He always remains the Echot. And his midas emanate from the same Echot. Or it depends on the circumstances. The circumstances are which one can pour chesed on the world and we see chesed of Yisrael. It's time for Mishpot and Yisrael acts with Mishpot. But l'cho Hashem azamiro, all comes in the same Boi Shoyim. The closer a person gets to l'cho Hashem, the less the stirrer becomes. That was the secret of Olam. He was a real Oved Hashem. whoever was close to him knew that what he demanded of himself every minute was, Ma choyvosi voylomi. What is my duty this minute? And that's what he did. He had no aim in life. Around him was built the biggest bed in the world. He didn't build it. He started with the bezin at home. He knew was needed a bezin which would pass him according to halacha exactly, with no outside pressures. And he sat at home at the 2-room apartment. His children slept, the children told me they slept there, they heard people arguing in their sleep. And he chose 2 dayonim were as quiet as him. Quiet, sincere, serious people. That was his bedroom. Everything else, the 13 hekivim of the bedroom which developed over the years, the hundreds of motzim and rabbonim, all his tamidim, was nothing he's doing. It all formed by itself around his personality. He didn't have an aim to build the bedroom. Didn't have an aim to set up tamidim. He did whatever he had to do this minute. His question was always, Tzarichoti, am I needed now? Ani ba, I'm coming. That was his lifestyle all along. And because he was a tenua, he didn't speak a word more than necessary. Every conversation of his was like saying psagdin. Every word was weighed out. Exact, no more, no less. His sentence said everything has to be said exactly, not the extra words. My first meeting with Rav Nissim was, I went to Perchaz Misha and Shalom Zuzan. Before I went to Asim Shaida, I learned the sugya, and I remained with the sugya. I didn't know how to behave. So I met him after Mincha, and I told him Shaila, and the way I saw things, and the sugya which I had. He looked at me, listened to what I said. I finished speaking, he turned around and went away. I ran after him and asked, what's the psak? Zahamata. He had nothing to add. He had bomb loaded, not a picture to say. That was it. He was a person of pnimiyus. Everything which he learned, everything which he saw in life, wasn't a point to use it to save most of other people. The Musa was himself. I heard a story from a person who was very close to me. It was about a boss. He paid for the story. Very close. Was it Kufa when he used to come in his car and take a missing home from Bezdin to his home after the Bezdin? He told me one day he asked the missing, tell me, if 2 people come to the Torah, both are respectable people, each one puts forward his case, and both seem to say have a good point, a good case. How do you know how to ask? Missing was a person of pnimius. He didn't like to pass the path of his own pnimius. But he begged him to say. Afterwards, Ribbono Shel Olam put in the mouth of the person who is not right, Odoes Baal Din. One word which gives away his case, Odoes Baal Din. And I look after that word. Pesach was the Pesach of Umdana, was the Pesach of Shore, Pesach of the 100% Pesach comes to Aloche, or Doz Baal Din. Like 280. Like 180. So a person didn't let go, and he asked him, Rav, should tell me, what do you do when this doesn't happen? He didn't ask. He asked him again, and he didn't ask. So he started driving the car, he drove home, he arrived, he stopped the car. Yes, Harav, Yagili, Bakasha, Ma Tshuva. Nisim said that for a long time. He didn't want to answer. I asked him again. Then he said, Az Adayan Tzarich Lasot Tshuva. Forward. The dying wasn't Doiche. To Siyat and Ishmael, then the Dayan has to do tshuva. That was a mission. It was not the case in Beis Din. A lady was nifta, she left her husband with 12 Yisroelim. And the Kehillahs outside of Nebrak made the Keren. Made the Keren, it was about 15 years ago. The Keren, all the newspapers, the Chater Ha'iladim. I'm sure many people still remember it. Help the Alman take off the worry about marrying off the 12 Yisroelim. And he collected a certain amount of money, and money was deposited in Kvat HaYir of Bnei Brak. A few years later, that Alman got married to Almona with 6 children. Household had 18 children. Obviously, for such a household, it's very difficult. And they asked Kvat HaYir to take from their money the Keren to help them run the household for the good of these Yisroelim. But they refused. Money was collected to marry them off, not for their daily needs. So they came to Beis Din with Kfat HaYir, and the wife, the lady in the house, stood up and described to Beis Din the difficulties of this household. Each child, difficulties of personality, physical difficulties, mental difficulties, difficulties in behavior. Each child with unbelievable difficulties. Yisroelim, 18 Yisroelim in one house. The physical work to clean the house, the enormous amount of washing, children who can't keep clean. To lift up the pot for dinner was above, beyond the koichus. The whole room, all the day on him, the eyes being glued to look at her and listen to the story. I turned around and looked at the missing. Missing was sitting there, tears streaming down on his cheeks. On his beard, to hear the plight of that family. That was his Rachmonas, Leib Rachum. She finished describing him, and Ruth asked, she all laughed, wiped his tears, and he said, we heard the sorrows of the family, have to sit down after the Pesach. Pesach is to be Pesach. There was a very great Rav was in charge of his keren. What's the purpose? What was the money collected for? Can you take any money for other needs besides the needs of the children? One of the Yodim called the Rav and he said it was explicitly collected for the Chaten of Haredi. Pesach was written on the spot. No money can be taken for the daily needs. Rachmanus, he was the only one who cried listening to this story. But Halacha was Halacha. Cheter u'mishpot in the same psalm. Rishi once told his son told me, we find often the Gemara, Machlokes of Amoraim, Abaye v'Rove, other Amoraim. Then the Gemara brings a riot of a brisa against one of the Amoraim. And the Gemara says, Tigme Rove, Alibed Abaye. Rove answered this brisa according to Abaye, who argued with him, and the kasha was an Abaye. Rove answered the kasha from this brisa. So this is said, what do we see here? Abaye is sure that he's right in his point. Robert is sure 100%. Robert is sure 100% that what he's saying is 100% true. What he learned all his life. The Talmidim brought the brisa to support Robert and show that Abaye is not right. How much of this nefesh does Abaye have now? The Robo is sure that his brisa supports him. He's still sure that his brisa supports him. But you have to find a Pesach to help Abaye. Tirgime Robo Alived Abaye. Robo found a way to explain the brisa to Doichak. Alived Abaye, even though he's sure he himself held it wasn't true. The terrace wasn't the right terrace. But I leave it up. That's called Noise Bo'oil Im Chaveroi. He steps into his shoes to see how he feels, how can I help him. And if you see such a Noise Bo'oil, says the Mason, how much of you, the Noise Bo'oil with a neighbor? And how much if I'm mechuyev to be noisy b'ol with the validinim who sit opposite me on the table? Each one comes. His heart pounding. He's sure he's right. What's about Dai going to say? We're going to win this case? Chadash will lose the case. Money is involved. COVID is involved. He's going to come home, wants to go tell his wife. Nobody dying feels a lot of power in his hands. The message says an amazing feeling, the heart of the two Valentinian pounding, and their worries. That's what he learned from this tomorrow. In our basin, the table where the Yom sits is a normal table, normal height. Unlike other bodies dealing, the Yom sits on a high table, a podium, and the Baladin sits much lower. Mizim explains, I want to sit on the same table as the Baladin. I want them to feel that I'm with them, and I listen to every word they say. Rishim was involved in Geirus. And in fact, Geirus, by him, was the epitome of his life. He saw the increase in Geirim, and he saw Mashiach coming. But 15 years ago was Intifada, and the buses in Yerushalayim exploded. 1 week or 3 buses exploded on the Chon Etzlon. That week there was a big surge of gayrim. Went to the mikveh. The mikveh turned to me and said, "You see what's happening? How much Kali Yisrael is suffering? On the other hand, how many gayrim are coming?" He said to me a few times, the Gemara Nivomit says that why are gayrim dvui muschufim? Gayrim. Chazal say, Tzukim say, the Hashem Oyev is gayrim, Hashem Shomer is gayrim. Gayrim should be carried on arms. But the Gemara says gayrim are dvui muschufim, after them is gayrim, they suffer. Why is that? Says the Gemara, Shohoyel Loboy Veloy Bo. Says Rashi, as soon as they realized where the truth is, she's come straight to bed in the sky. Each man has settled his business, settled his affair, and then comes the basin. For that time lag, Shohoyel Loboy earlier, Veloy Bo, they suffer that dream is hooting. So by Gairim, we're going. Nobody demanded them to become human soul. Yet when they realize the truth, should have come straight away to this guy. So you look at this moment and say, "Wow, you should have come earlier. That's what has happened." The Mason said to me, "And what about us? What about Beisdin? We know better. Are we allowed to delay them one day?" That was his way of looking at things. Machu vosi boilo mi. What is my duty in the world? And that's how he lived all his life. He had the honest, he had a lot of kishurness, he had a lot of understanding in the human soul, in the psychology of people, and he used it as much as he could to help other people. He did a lot of Shalom Bayis. He spent a lot of time of his learning for other activities, spent hours with people. About 20 years ago, 25 years ago, he suffered from a stroke. We sat together a whole morning in Berlin, and later on I heard that he was in hospital. After he came home, I went to visit him. And he told me what happened. It was Wednesday night. And he already felt something was wrong. He decided to go to make it early night. And time has passed. It's 10 o'clock. And he was about to go to bed. A lady knocked on the door with a very serious problem of Shalom Bayis. He said, could he go to bed? It's such a situation. I went with her, went home with her, and I slept with the husband and wife till 1 o'clock at night. He went to bed, 5 o'clock he got up, he was seeking. Came home, 6 o'clock, after a few years of Mishnayas, and then he called the doctor. The doctor diagnosed straight away with a stroke, took him straight to hospital. It was Thursday's Bezdin. Came to bed at 9:30, and he sat in bed until 1 o'clock. I remember still, it was very difficult during then. and nobody saw any sign at all of anything wrong, why not show him into the hospital? That was his duty. But my duty now is to do what the Rosh Hashanah wants to do now. My health can wait. Rosh Hashanah health. But the case of Shalom Bayis, where I was involved, and I couldn't see how it could continue. We all went to a meeting, and we still had both sides, and decided there was no point continuing anymore. Half a year later, the oldest daughter got engaged. Now, who's going to be the Shushvini from her side? Parents are divorced. The mother went to the meeting, and she said to him, "You passed into your divorce. Could you and your relatives please lead our daughter under the chuppah?" We think, what do these relatives ask? Do you preach it to be a shushvin? He said, "Yes." The day of the chuppah, we sent him early. It was a big mizrach prepared for the chatan later on. He came along and he sat at the edge of the table. I was there, I told him to sit in the middle. "No, now I'm a shushvin. My duty is now to be a shushvin." A few minutes later, the shiva of the bocha came in, he used to start the kiddushin. He saw a missing there, he wants to go away. "I can't start the kiddushin, the missing is there." He said, no, "You must start the kiddushin, I'm a shushvin." Went to the chuppah, give him a bracha chrita at least. Said, "No, I'm no kibbutzim now. I am the shushvin of the time." It was very simple. Wasn't something unusual. That was his duty now this minute. That was chuvotzi bo'olomi this minute. The few years when he was a magichur in Vizhnitz, Chile's Vizhnitz. A Talmud of his told me many years later that he was a shir, which he said. He wasn't one of the star Talmidim of the shir. The Mishim called him over after the shir one day, told him, "Please come to my house. I pay you every time you come a certain amount of money. I want to learn with you." He spent on for a long time. He came to a meeting after an afternoon, and the meeting paid him money. He should come and learn with him to keep him up with the Shia of the Yeshiva. It was his duty. The Talmidim should know, should learn properly. It didn't matter that he was taking money from the Yeshiva. Now it's his duty of our Master Torah that this Talmud should know. And he paid him money, he should come and continue learning with him. His concept of ministers, you could see also in the deen itself. It was once a family's father was nifter, there's an almone, a son and a daughter. Koita alocha, the Yerusha goes to the son. But the mother and the daughter made an alliance against the son. They went to the court, they managed to get most of the money to their side. The son asked the mother to come to the Torah. The mother refused. She had all sorts of excuses. It went on for about half a year. She never came to bed. There wasn't an amazing hurricane, it was another hurricane of bed. After half a year, the abbeim of that hurricane, also senior Dayan, came to a meeting on a Wednesday or Monday, told the story. He said, there's no etzer, you have to write iksav sirut. So write a note publicizing this lady doesn't want to come to Beis Din, doesn't want to listen to Beis Din. Iksav sirut obviously has a lot of power, especially to the Choshev family, well known in the country. A letter against the mother is what matters. It forces come to Beis Din. And the Dayan, Ad Av Beis Din, when he had a certain text written out, ready to sign, against the mother, it's done, from time to time, it has to be done. And he puts it in front of Beis Din, obviously his Rosh Beis Din, should sign first. Beis Din looks at the text, read it once, read it again. After a few minutes, he said, "Ech afshar lichtov tafsiru leben neged ima shelo? How can you write a tafsiru for the son against his mother? Son is right, the mother is wrong. But to write a tafsiru against the mother on demand of the son, how is it possible? He goes to get the whole time." And he put aside, and that was it. The reason, on one hand, when he had to talk strong terms to somebody who didn't want to listen to Beis Din, he knew how to do it. He could even shout at the person with no other means of putting him in his place. But he also, it always was, came, wasn't him. There's no cast involved. Once the person came to Beis Din and he threatened to go to the police and tell the police about his opponent, Beis Din shouted at him, the wall was still trembling, the dayanim was trembling. He had a lawyer together with him, the lawyer explained, he didn't really mean that, explained his way, explained it, not only else, the whole knew it wasn't true. But if somebody explained that he wasn't going to go to police, in that same second, Beis Din spoke to that Baal Din as his best friend. There was no cast involved. He did exactly what had to be done before and what has to be done now. But normally, his way of speaking was the softest of speech. There was a person who refused to give against his wife. In my Rabbanut, the case went on for years. There was no way of getting him to give against, and the Rabbanut put him in prison. He was there for years. Big action. Shumoy didn't want to give against his wife. The most anxious to take against him, the bigger it became an action. Somebody had an idea, let's bring him to a meeting, perhaps a meeting maybe to persuade him. He came to Beis Din, handcuffed, both hands, to policemen. Each time this policeman came and sat opposite the meeting. Beis Din looked at him with merciful eyes. And he said to him, "Ata rotze latet get ishtecha?" The answer was, "Ken." Half an hour later, the get was given, and the case was over. I once brought a kid out of the cheder. You should test them. Kitalev, small children just starting to learn. Normally, when the Great Rabbanim says to our late, famous Chassadim Brocha, he says it in the last 10 years, all Chabadim came to him. But he's very careful, no child should be abused, no child should be ashamed, not being able to answer a question. So he asked the question, he looked at the ceiling. Did he look at any child at all? Not to abuse a child, you shouldn't think he's looking at him and he does not answer. Or if the child answered, what was the right answer? Make sure he didn't look at anybody. A bodhicitta of this. He put the children all around the table and he started asking each child a personal question. I was trembling because he was a child as well. And there it was. Every child knew how to answer. The Rishon looked at every child with a soft look in his eyes, the smile on his face. Child felt confident he's going to know how to answer. And he saw he wasn't going to, the answer wasn't exact. He added one word to help him and that was the answer. Each one of the children came out happy and proud that they knew the answer. Tell you a story of Rebbe. Just an example of his chokhmah. How if you look at situations in a way which others didn't. Came a choshevig man to Beis Din. A mitavech, a middleman, called into Beis Din to pay, to make yivuch. That person said, the igumah sat down and he said, I want to ask Beis Din to give a psak which will be valid bo'olam hazeh and bo'olam habo. I don't want to have anything, any issues, not in this world, not in the next world, with the psak. I want to become clean for bo'olam habo. That was the hagdomah to the Beis Din. Now the middleman took out piece of paper and on it was the list of four apartments which he suggested to this person and said he bought one of his apartments and didn't pay any medibuch. And the middleman added that in the beginning all the conditions which were signed, conditions which nobody could get out of it, out of paying. For 20 years I'm living in Taberech. After 20 years of experience, I know exactly what to write, and nobody can get out of payment. So, the Avrech answered, he said, yes, you're right. I sent my son to look for an apartment, it was a chosn. You only have money to buy a two-room apartment. And this list were four apartments. Three were two rooms, and one was an apartment of 2.5 rooms. We didn't have the money to buy 2.5 rooms. So only went to see the apartments of 2 rooms. None of them satisfied us, so we didn't buy. 2 months later, another mitavech came along, told us the apartment of 2.5 rooms, which is the same price as the huge apartment of 2 rooms. Oh, very nice. But we had to see it. And we bought it. And later on turned out the same apartment you saw here on the list of 2.5. But we didn't look at the apartment because at the time we thought it was much more expensive. We couldn't afford it. That second mitavech explained to us at the same price as the usual 2 apartments. So obviously in this case, the first mitavech didn't do any job at all of tzibuch. second one is Jew. But the first one said, and Torah said, by the sign, whichever way you're going to buy this apartment, you have to pay the money. Kuf Choshmishpo is no way out. Rishim sent them every out. Then he called the Mitavech back to Beis Din. And he asked him, tell me, is your parnosa to be Mitavech? Or is your parnosa to accept presents? This person in the town, he's known in town, so what's the parnosa to be Mitavech? I don't take any presents. Baruch Hashem, I don't need presents. So Rishi says, if you believe, you're right to take the money. But if you believe that person like we believe him, after we saw what he said in the beginning, that he didn't take any note of your list of the 2.5 rooms, because he thought it wasn't for him, then you can demand the money because of the clause which he signed. But it's not a book, it's a present. A person who looks at the emes has tiach nishmaya to see the emes the right way. No, since he said he doesn't take any presents, we have to do that. This is previous was unbelievable. On the outside, this person didn't talk. His expression was a scarce expression, didn't change. But from watching closely, when he governed, and he said, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Hashem Tzitzen Eschem Eitz Yitzrayim, Lios Lachem Ve'elokim. He saw when he said, Lios Lachem Ve'elokim, his whole body trembled. If you didn't watch him, you didn't see it. But deep down in him was Yerushalayim. Last few years, he was unable, forgettably, to move his muscles. Baruch Hashem, we had a very good relationship. A lot of our discussions was with the eyes. I understood him, he understood me. This came very useful these years when he couldn't talk anymore. I asked him till about a year and a half ago, I still asked him questions on Lachal HaMaisel. And he answered me. He couldn't move his head. So the answer was yes. He moved his eyes up and down, like moving his head up and down. Answer was no, he closed his eyes. The answer was depends. It was a lot of depends, very often it depends. He used to turn his eyes in a circle. Depends. That's how we communicated till about a year ago. The last Shabbos he was home, he couldn't open his eyes anymore. He sat there by Mincha, was there by him, the last Mincha. And the family didn't know whether he was listening anymore to the tefillah. I stood behind him. And the Chazan said, Kaddish, before Shmoneh Esra. Omer Yeish Me'arabo. He took a deep breath of excitement. Omer Yeish Me'arabo. Same old Okel HaKodesh. Chazan said Okel HaKodesh, and he saw the breath of excitement. He couldn't move anything else besides breathe. That was his movement. It was the last time I saw him. He used to say the same thing. Who speak of a mile of a person? So if you learn from this person, this Maila, this Hussein. I said a few Mailas, I'm sure, was immeasurably more Mailas which we don't know at all.